are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today, it is September 14th, 2021. On today's show, a little bit early this week with this one, a little extra, because I am going to be going to Morgantown on Friday for West Virginia and Virginia Tech, so putting out a couple extra episodes earlier this week. But on today's show, talking about the Clay Helton firing, could a current or former Big 12 head coach be on the way to USC? We'll talk about that. Quarterback situations all across the Big 12 at Kansas State, at Texas, at Iowa State, and elsewhere, to be frank. We've got that to discuss on today's show. Before we get to that, though, want to plug everything. So make sure you guys follow us here on YouTube, subscribe, thumbs up, all that stuff. Continue to leave comments. We love that. Make sure you guys find us on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you all get your podcasts. Find us in those places as well. And as always, follow us on Twitter at LO Big 12 today. Once again, at LO Big 12. You can follow me, as you can see right here, at Josh Neighbors _ is where you can find me too. All right, let's get into the headlines today. So first thing, could a current or former Big 12 head coach take the job at USC? It was announced yesterday by Athletic Director Mike Bone that they will be firing, or they did fire rather, Clay Helton, the head coach, former head coach at USC. Dante Williams will take over in the interim capacity, and we've now got some lines as well. Bet Online, not yet. I'm sure they'll have theirs up soon, but this coming from Sportsline. These are the odds to be the next head coach. You see Luke Fickell there is tied with James Franklin as both leaders. Chris Peterson's right there at plus 700. Bob Stoops at plus 800. Matt Campbell is plus 1,000. And you see also down the line, we've got Gary Patterson on there too. I'm surprised. I did see Lincoln Riley, you know, he was thrown out there. I don't think Lincoln Riley would take it. I think we all know that. But, you know, some of these names are far-fetched. So let's kind of start with what we see there with Bob Stoops. And I think he and Chris Peterson are in the same boat. Now, this morning I was working on SiriusXM on Dusty and Danny in the morning. Ryan Leaf joined us, and obviously very connected player with the Pac-12. He said if he was Mike Bone, his first call would be to Chris Peterson. Now, Chris Peterson's appetite, obviously, to take that job would be in question. I think a lot of Washington fans would question the fact that he stepped down just a few years ago, right, and then would go ahead and take the USC job. Clearly still has an interest in football, is on the Fox desk. But this is a guy who's a pretty principled person and stepped away, from coaching to go be with his family. And obviously his family's got some, you know, other health issues, and he wanted to balance his life. So does he want to get back to that? Bob Stoops, another kind of guy in the same boat. And what's interesting about Bob Stoops is that Bob was one of those guys who got out of the college game at the right time. Like, it didn't go completely south for Bob Stoops. You know, his last season was an 11-2 season in 2016 that ended in a Sugar Bowl win in a Big 12 championship, right? The season prior to that, 11-2, 8-1 in conference, and a loss in the Orange Bowl. So Bob Stoops really got to go out on a high note at Oklahoma. And, once again, another guy who's on the desk. But you have to question, what is his appetite to come back and be involved in coaching once again? So I think Chris Peterson and Bob Stoops are kind of in the same boat in that regard. Matt Campbell, the next guy who is a Big 12 guy, at plus 1,000 right there. So an interesting case right here would be Matt Campbell. Now, obviously, they just came off that loss, but you don't judge a coach off of one loss, in my opinion. But Matt Campbell with the program building job that he has done. And I think he and Luke Fickell are both interesting candidates in the respect of that they are not in power spots, Cincinnati can move to the Power Five now. But those two programs are not considered, you know, top-tier programs. They've pushed themselves up that way in many ways because of the job that those head coaches have done. And, you know, the development side of things, that would be a great thing for USC to have. I think James Franklin is more towards the side of, not pizzazz is the right word, but just the recruiting, I think, would be better with a guy like a James Franklin as opposed to a Matt Campbell or Luke Fickell. I think, not positive, but, you know, it kind of goes to what do you want? Do you want a developer? Do you want somebody who's going to be a better recruiter, good motivator? Do you think James Franklin speaks to that? This has been a job that I think, you know, James Franklin's wanted. It seems like these two entities have been circling each other for quite some time now. So I think that's an interesting way to look. But I think Luke Fickell and Matt Campbell kind of had tied. Now, Luke Fickell's got that tied to USC. So I think he's kind of the more likelier option of the two guys who are excellent developers of talent. But Matt Campbell, you know, there are a lot of questions about what does Matt Campbell's future look like. And I think especially now Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12, kind of there is a slight quality drop overall in the conference. Matt Campbell did turn down millions and millions of dollars, upwards of 50 to go coach the Lions upwards of $50 million to coach the Lions. But, you know, decides to stay, where he is now in Ames. And the question was, how long would it be for? Does the change of conference realignment accelerate this process? Is this job becoming available? Accelerate this process? You know, this job or the Michigan job or the two jobs that felt like they would kind of accelerate the big cycles that would change, that make the big changes. And now the USC job is open. What's interesting also is Dante Williams is not on this list. So it kind of feels weird that the interim coach with plenty of time left, you know, I feel like at least you should have some odds on him, but we will see in that regard. Also from the Big 12, Gary Patterson is on this list at plus 1800. GP is going to finish his career at TCU. There's no way. He's just one of those long shot guys. And then also how funny it would be if Lane, I know not Big 12 tie, but how funny it would be if Lane Kiffin went back. Also, let me point your attention to Urban Meyer at plus 1200. I mean, I know the stories have been coming out about, you know, Urban Meyer not being on the same page as the staff and the players and kind of frustrated at the NFL level. Well, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if that happened. It does not feel like it's totally outside of the realm of possibility. Surprised, yes, but completely shocked. You know, Urban Meyer, it feels like anything is really possible. But look, I think we're going to get plenty of time to let this thing play out this season. Obviously, it's week two. The big story here to me is USC should not have fired they should not have fired Clay Helton. It makes no sense to bring a guy back if you were one bad loss away from firing the coach. It's not a stable situation. It's not one you want to bring back. And I think this is also a scenario where you feel bad for the kids, man. These kids are there following this coach, and they've been left out on the island as you fire the coach now. Two games in the season after a poor performance. You know, they might like him, might not like him, but he is their leader. And to cut that guy off and to cut him out and to get rid of him after that performance, that says to me it was mishandled. It was a bad situation. And I don't think this is the right way it should have gone down. I'm not sure if it's a good job of management here by Mike Bohm. All right, we're going to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the best place to find all of your sports gaming needs, UFC, NFL, college football, NBA, MLB, Formula One, whatever it is you want to bet on, they've got at betonline.ag. Go there today, sign up on your iPhone, on your computer, on your tablet, whatever it is. It's free to do. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to get a deposit bonus as well. BetOnline. They are your online sportsbook experts. All right, so we've got some Big 12 quarterback things to handle here. And I'll start. So the other day, somebody made a comment about me not covering enough of the rest of the teams, the Big 12, and do my best to do it. But I just want to say this is that too often, I will agree that Texas, Oklahoma, and Iowa State lead the story, but those are the they are the teams that attract the most attention, right? Those are the teams that really do deserve a lot of the, just because their fan base, because they're the following, they are usually at the top of the ledger. Now, with that being said, I'm going to start today with Kansas State and their situation. So Will Howard is going to take over for Skylar Thompson. And look, I think this the big winner of this scenario is Oklahoma, because Oklahoma was going to have to make that trip to Manhattan in October, on October 2nd, so in about 3 weeks. Well, you know, Skylar Thompson's out indefinitely, and we have no idea when he is going to come back. And this is a completely different team. We saw, you know, them get off to an a nice lead against Western Illinois. And think about how good Kansas State has been with Skylar Thompson, right? 24-7 last week, up 14-0 this week, and they lose Skylar Thompson, kind of running, trying to throw a block, didn't actually end up throwing a block, just kind of pulls up. In MRI, you know, the results, out indefinitely, they have to see what's going to happen here. But to have to go to Will Howard, who just has not been it so far, and I understand this is a younger kid, right? He was thrust into this situation last year too, but he did get some PT, and last year, can't say it went that well either. He was 90 of 168. He had a 54% completion percentage, just below that. Threw for 1,178 yards, 8 touchdowns to 10 interceptions last year. Did have a decent year on the ground, rushing for 364 and 3 scores. Did rush for a touchdown in the game the other day. But this offense looks a lot different. It's a lot more, Deuce Vaughn heavy. Now, they've got some more weapons this year than they did last year at Kansas State. I actually think this roster kind of turned things over pretty nicely. I know they had some attrition, had some atrophying with losing some guys last year. But I thought they did a great job, you know, kind of filling in some of those gaps. Malik Knowles has been strong so far this year. Phillip Brooks, strong so far this year. And then, obviously, new tight end. I'm horrible pronouncing this kid's name. Imator Hebe, I believe it's how it's pronounced. So, and once again, you bring back Deuce Vaughn in the backfield, and he's already off to an awesome start this season. But, you know, losing Skylar Thompson, I've mentioned this a bunch. He's such a solid quarterback. And no, has he thrown for any, you know, touchdowns, this season? He has thrown for a couple this year. For some reason, they have not added in his stats yet into the system so far for his year. But he's been 12 for 18 on the season, 67% completions, 2 INTs on the year. He rushed for two touchdowns, but he's been a steadying hand, and he's taken care of that offense. And they really did not need him to be great in that Stanford game, you know, just good enough, and obviously good enough on the ground with those 2 rushing touchdowns. But once again, it's a completely different offense. And you think about what Kansas State now has on their schedule as they move forward. They've got a really difficult task with Carson Strong in Nevada this week at home. They've got Oklahoma State on the road after that. They've got Oklahoma at home following that game. Then they've got Iowa State at home. And then they're at Texas Tech and a home against TCU. So, you know, it felt like in the beginning this was going to be maybe a 7-5, 6-6 team, especially because of how rough that stretch is. Well, with Skylar Thompson, and you know, and think about Skylar Thompson with this team, and you play Nevada at OK State, home for OU and Iowa State, at Texas Tech, TCU. That stretch, as hard as it is, feels like 3-3, or 6-game stretch. It feels like 3-3 is possible if you can beat Nevada at home. Maybe you still won against Oklahoma State, but maybe, you know, split Oklahoma. All you have to do is win one of that 3-game stretch between Oklahoma State, OU, and Iowa State. And then if you can grab, you know, one of Texas Tech and TCU, that means that you've gone 3-3 in that stretch. And at 2-0, you know, that puts you at 5-3 with Kansas, West Virginia, Baylor, and Texas left to go. That's a pretty good position to be in. But now they're going to be underdogs in every single one of these games moving forward without Skylar Thompson. I believe they're already an underdog this week at betonline.ag. I saw that line move. There was some movement towards Nevada being favored. So that's that's just a scenario, another bad spot. And you feel so bad for Skylar Thompson because he comes back, looks like he's ready to go, comes back off an injury last year and then has this unfortunate freak accident this year to put him in another bad spot. You just have to feel for the kid. You really have to feel for the kid. But we'll see what Will Howard can do. You know, last season, once again, had a couple of good moments, but really did struggle for the most part. Nevada now a 2-point favorite on the road and in Manhattan this coming week. All right, one more word from our sponsors, and then we'll get to the Texas and Iowa State quarterback situations as well. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar in the game today. Go to BuiltBar.com right now, Built.com rather. Coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. Those are the flavors available right now. 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, and all of their protein bars somewhere in that range. Only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs as well. And also, they are the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. It's pretty cool. So go to built.com today. It's built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15. And you'll get 15% off your purchase today. Today's show is also brought to you by Prize Picks. This is a fun way to play daily fantasy, y'all. Prize Picks offers every sport like NFL, college football, NBA, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. If you go there today at Prize Picks, you can get a 100% deposit on your first deposit. If you deposit $100, you have an extra 100 there too. You can pick like 2 to 5 players for an over-under in their projection. They'll give you interceptions, touchdowns, you know, field goals kicked. You can get all kinds of fun wagers that you can do. It's really easy to sign up. Find out the App Store or Google Play. Entries can be made in like 60 seconds. It's so easy to do. It's also safe, and they offer fast withdrawals as well. And they also have a lot of informational videos so you understand what you're doing. So I want to thank Prize Picks for sponsoring the show. Go find them on their app today. It's available in most states now. All right, let's get to this Texas quarterback situation. So this is weird because, you know, if I had to guess which way the Texas season would have gone, if you gave me the two results they just had, I would have gone with the struggles being in the first game against Louisiana and then the kind of maturity coming in the second game against Arkansas. That was flipped. And so we're at a point now where I thought we'd be in the offseason. Steve Sarkisian has named Casey Thompson starting quarterback moving forward. And I think what he gives them is the ability to move the pocket around, because the Texas offensive line last week, they did struggle. They did struggle pretty mightily. So what they, you know, I think they want to move the offensive line, move the pocket around. Hudson Carr did not look comfortable. That's a little bit more towards Casey Thompson's skill set, per se, is the ability to move around and create plays. I thought if Hudson Carr hits that 3rd and 15 to Jordan Whittington, maybe the game ends up differently. But the way they struggle, they're playing Rice this week. So this is the week where you kind of say to yourself, look, whichever guy I want to be my starting quarterback, this is the week I want to pick him, because this is a get-right game. This is a way you can get your guy on a good track. I thought he would give more leeway to Hudson Carr. I really did. I thought that he would say, look, it's one bad game. He's a young kid. Got a lot of time left to play. First, you know, true road start right there too, in a hostile environment. Okay, well, I mean, that place was absolutely rocking the other day. I think it's let's see. I think it's, you know, is that right, Dale K. Walton? I believe it's correct. Donald W. Reynolds. I think it's Daryl K. Walton. Donald W. Reynolds Stadium was rocking the other day. And, you know, that's a difficult environment. And like I said, if he hits that early throw, maybe things go a different way. But they, you know, I think they want to give themselves some flexibility with the quarterback spot, especially as they now head towards, you know, conference play on the horizon at 1-1. But I said this earlier in the week, I'm not panicking here for Texas, and I thought this would be a bit more of a process than we really thought it would, you know, than some people thought. Was I surprised at the week one result? Yeah, they looked awesome, phenomenal. This is a setback, and I think Texas truly is somewhere in the middle. I really do think they're somewhere in the middle. Good stretch coming up here, Rice, Texas Tech, at TCU. It's kind of a nice little kind of a elevation there, right? Should beat Rice, Texas Tech at home at noon. That's a team that you should beat. You're you know, a little better than them. Of course, Texas Tech looks to be frisky this year, but I think they're better than at TCU, a challenge against a team that has had your number as of late. And I think that progression is going to be good. So let's see what Casey Thompson has this week. But it's an interesting choice, and I think this goes back to what I said. You know, I thought last week I was wrong about Sark not being confident in this quarterback pick. Now I feel a bit more validated. It feels like, you know, even now that he's named Casey Thompson starter after one bad start. And also, this quarterback competition does not feel like it's over yet. I don't think anybody has that feeling, okay, it's over. Casey Thompson's the guy. You know, he might go out and perform pretty well, but he could suck the next week, and that would, you know, facilitate Hudson Card coming back in. But this is a, you know, this is a spot where it feels like Sark's reservations and hesitations heading into the season were correct. They were correctly placed about how he felt about his quarterbacks. And it felt like, to me, he was not really confident about the situation. And I'm not sure he feels very confident about it right now. Luckily, they've got two great backs in Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson and a decent receiving core as well. So hopefully those guys can help out. All right, one last thing to get to. So they did last week. Iowa State does bench Brock Purdy. He was horrible, but it was not just Brock Purdy. It was Xavier Hutchinson. It was Breece Hall with the fumble, right? You know, there were a lot of guys, and also Charlie Kolar, just not himself just yet, coming off of being injured a week previous. They go with Hunter Deckers, and he has a nice game, but the game was, once again, I said it was mop-up time. Not totally true. I said mop-up time the other day. Not totally mop-up time, and he was sharp, but, you know, Matt Campbell said Brock Purdy needed to clear his head. And that's concerning. You know, where is Brock Purdy now? Because we've seen him in so many big spots falter, right? The Oklahoma game, this game against Iowa this week. He's had moments where you point to it and say, ugh, it's just, you know, maybe he's not that guy. He's not the guy that he was before. You know, he didn't reach that ceiling that we thought he could. And they've got some interesting decisions to make as they move forward. Once again, Brock Purdy also struggled mightily against UNI. They're on the road at UNLV this week. Then they go play at Baylor. They've got Kansas at Kansas State. They have a very advantageous stretch of schedule to get themselves back on pace. When you think about, you know, UNLV's bad, Baylor's looks to be improved, but I would say it's a better team than them. They showed that last year. And, you know, but also Baylor's a team last year where Brock Purdy did struggle mightily too in that game. And a big point for Iowa State is that everything is in front of them. A Big 12 championship is still in front of them. This loss was not a conference loss. They can go on and beat Oklahoma once, and if they have to do it twice, I'm not saying it's likely, they're on the table. They can still find themselves in the college football playoff. But still, the goal should be a Big 12 championship because that is not that rung they've hit so far this year. This was a big game for them. They didn't do it. But Brock Purdy, Matt Campbell says he's a guy moving forward, but he said he benched him because he said, you know, Brock had to work through some stuff. Really concerning if you're an Iowa State fan. So let's see how this plays out this week against UNLV. Should be a team he lights up. That Baylor game, I think, is going to be a more telling one, though. Has Brock Purdy recovered? Is he on a better mental state? I think that's what really matters. Where is he mentally? And I think that Baylor game on the road in Waco is going to be a better test because that defense tested him as well last year. All right, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. There it is. Let's pull down that last caption. Find me on Twitter at @JoshNeighbors_. You can also follow the show at @LLBig12. Rate, subscribe, do all of those fun things. Until next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.